Natalie, coming to you live. Spirit and coffee. Got my coffee here. Slytherin today. I'm feeling a little Slytherin today. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to read out of this book, Sacred Instructions. What a phenomenal book. I literally can't put it down. It's just amazing. And it's Indigenous Wisdom for Living Spirit-Based Change. Sherry Mitchell. Wana Hamu Kwaset, She Who Brings a Light. So a beautiful book. I'm going to read from it. And I love the way this author writes because I feel like it's me writing. I feel like it's the way that I would speak on paper and write. And so I feel a deep connection to it. So recommend that you read it. It's about Indigenous healing and sacred instructions on what's to come. Kind of came out of the prophecy, the one that I talked about. She talks about the prophecies and all that. But she does talk about the sacred feminine and masculine energies, not again gender. Please don't think I'm saying gender. Some people get tied up in that. But just the way the energies play, right? And how we experience what we call the duality of these energies that are intertangled, intertwined, interconnected, and they both work with one another. Good morning, Grace. And so as they work with one another, these energies, right, have a role, right, a distinct role within how they're played out. So I'm just going to read a little bit of what she says because it's beautiful the way that she's written this book. So our ancestors knew how to live within the realm of active creation and how to speak life into being. They understood that language of the land and they understand the language of the waters. They spoke to the plants and animals. They heard the subtle voice of creation and they saw the interconnectedness among all living things. As a result, they worked in concert with natural rhythms that surrounded them, knowing that their lives were tied inexorably to all living beings and to the living earth as well. Thus, the stories they wove into their lives that they created were balanced and harmonious. In other words, they lived with the harmony of the world around them. Right now, we're in disharmony. And that's why we're seeing this distorted symphony, if you will. There's a lot of dissonance, right? Dissonance instead of a lot of consonants. And so we're hearing those sour notes. We're seeing those sour notes. We're seeing the results of that. They recognize that we are interdependent, interconnected to the world around us. And that when we're in harmony with it, when we play to the rhythm and the symphony of the earth, right, the notes that are played are sweet. Now, language itself does create, and we know this. Practice what you preach. Be careful what you say. Words can hurt. They're sharper than a knife. You know, we even think about the words when we think about swords, which is wind, is a mental construct. We can shape an individual with our words. We can program a person with our words. We can tell them how they should see the world. And sometimes the way that the world is being taught to us is in a distortion. It's not necessarily in harmony with nature. And so we have these rhythms, but they did. They wove it into their lives and they created the balance and the harmonies, right? They worked with it. One of the things that our ancestors understood quite well was that we needed balance, the masculine and feminine energies, both within ourselves and within the world around us. Beautiful. Of course, I've talked about the balance of the sacred feminine and masculine energies within us. What does that mean? That means that if we're leaning to one side more than the other, it wreaks havoc. It shows up in the external world, right? So too much masculine leads to war. Too much feminine leads to chaos. Now, gender-wise, we have both within us. This is not a male-woman thing. We come into the world as a gender. And of course, the way that we engage the world and see the world is going to be unique. And it will, because, you know, women menstruate, they have the ability to hold life, right? And men, they are there to sort of give the life, right? They insert the life into us. So we carry that life in us. And so the way that we see the world and interact with it's different. Women menstruate, men don't. which is why they are able to be the ones who were hunting or whatever they were doing to get the food, right? We were gatherers and we were able to rest and relax. However, the woman, right, or the feminine energy, and had something to teach the masculine energy and vice versa. So, but we have not rectified that war within us that we're raging. And I talked about this yesterday. The war that we rage inside of us is that harmony, that peace, that balance that we are longing to find and to come to. The balance that says we are able and we are okay and we are whole, perfect, and complete. That balance, once we have it right, allows us, good morning, Betty, allows us to live in harmony with the world around us. It allows us to live in balance with the world around us. There is no war when we have no war inside of us. What we're seeing externally right now is the internal conflicts that human has made. We've made up this internal conflict and battle. And really what it is that separation from. It is the extremities that we're living in. We're living in an extremity of a masculine world where it's patriarchal. And that has caused some consequences. There's consequences to it. Is it right, wrong, good, or bad? No, but there are consequences. It's almost like you're too far left or too far right, right? They talk about that, like on, I guess, politics, right? You don't want to be either one or the other. You want to find the harmony within. And when people can start to heal internally, we won't see war, you know, but they have the battle within them, and we can't force people into finding or harmonizing within themselves. We can only teach them, right? We could teach them to do that. Good morning, Marilla. But we can't force them into it. And that's a hard thing, right? Because we're looking at everybody and we're like, come on, if you just do this, if everybody just learned to love, they don't even love them damn selves. Let's just be honest. They don't love themselves. If they did, they wouldn't be raging war on people. We wouldn't have militaries, and we wouldn't have people saying, this is my land. We wouldn't be fighting like a bunch of children. What we would be doing is asking how we can make this world a better place for the next generations. How do we work in harmony? How do we work together? But rather than be in harmony with nature, we just cut all the trees down and we just say, we're going to take it. It's mine, mine, mine. We consume, we consume, we consume. Rather than saying, what would the trees say? What would the earth tell us about how we should work in harmony with it? How do we work together? And the only way that we could come to that is by asking ourselves, how do I work with me? How do I understand me? I love me a little too much sometimes. That's good. There's no such thing as loving yourself too much. When you learn to love yourself and live in harmony with yourself, you live in harmony with your surroundings. But again, we can't force people. We can't tie them down. We can't make them do it. It has to be a choice. That's where free will comes in. And I'm not going to get into free will and all that stuff. But it is. We have free will to choose or not choose. Consequences on either end of it, right? Or results or effects, I should say. So one of the reasons that our last balance... Oh, wait, here we go. One of the things that our ancestors understood quite well is that we needed to balance the masculine and feminine energies, both within ourselves and the world around us. One of the reasons that we have lost our balance in this world is because we have separated these two balancing energies into distinct forms, preventing the natural merging that is required to harmonize our spirits and our lives. I love that. And I love the way she writes. Like, I literally, she's my soul sister. And the reason I say that is because that's how I talk. It's about balancing the energies. Now, when she says that we've put these two energies into distinct forms, we've genderized it even. What we did, and here's where the big grand illusion came in, we started to see ourselves as separate. And then we created this social construct on that as well. So if you looked at socially, right, how things are constructed, we see that masculine, feminine, woman, man play a role in society. So we constructed society based on that. There was that before, there used to be an interdependence. When you look back historically on some indigenous tribes, or if you go back in history on several tribes, you'll see that both masculine and feminine energies were honored, and that men and women understood the feminine and masculine energies within them. When we, let's say here, when they came to colonize, right, they colonized America, they totally disregarded the feminine. In fact, people were burned at the stake. Let's just look at history, right? The dark night, the moon, which is symbolized and represented as the sacred feminine, got demonized. The night got demonized. Everything about the feminine got demonized. You can go back historically and look at the books. It was Eve who made ate the apple first. She was terrible. It was the woman, right? And woe man, right? And we talk about even that, like woe. Like we were the woe, we were the mistake, right? And it became this like genderized thing, and they did that for control. To control. And we see the result of that today. And I can tell you that, good morning, Lucy, the result of that today has created havoc on the world. We see this distorted sort of world right now. We're in distortion. We're in a three-dimensional time space. We don't know how to get out of it. And we're trying to reach for other, space-time, or say like, well, how do we get to the fifth dimension, all this and that? Really, it's about us reconnecting back to Earth, reconnecting back to our sacred feminine and masculine energies, reconstructing the models that we see within this dynamic, social dynamic, governmental dynamic. Everything has been structured and set up a little bit too masculine. Nothing wrong with the masculine. See, that's the problem too, is that we want to then say, oh, well, it's this, it's that. No, we need both. And we need them to work in harmony. We're in a broken system right now. That's why it's broken. Look at all of the models that we see within organizations, within the educational book, scientific is very left brain. That's a very masculine, doesn't allow for intuition, doesn't allow for dreams. We're trying to reintegrate and come back to the harmony of the sacred feminine and the masculine energies. What happened during the industrial era is that when they split it off, they colonized. And they said, here's your role. You have a role, masculine and feminine energies. And we still live by that today. Oh, men are just this way. Women are just that way. No, we're more alike than we're not. Now we have different ways of viewing the world because, again, women can hold life. So... It's pretty, it does make us see the world a little bit differently, but both wisdoms from the masculine and feminine are very, very critical. We need both. We need input from both. We need to be able to rectify that internal energy inside of us. We need both of those energies inside of us. When they're harmonized, when they're working together in tandem, it's quite amazing how we integrate that with the world. We start to live our divine birthright. We start to walk in our vessel, knowing who we are with power and strength. We do no harm, but we take no shit. We learn to protect ourselves. Do no harm, right? But take no shit is the protector, which is a masculine energy. It's okay to protect, but not to just go out and rage war against people, because guess what? You have something I want. And I'm going to take it. Too bad. No, that's not living in harmony. Living in harmony is saying, I have what I need right now, and I'm going to protect if I'm being attacked. But I'm not going to go out there just raging war on people. So this should tell you about where our leaders are today. If they're starting wars, what does that tell you about their internal world? There's conflict in them. As within, so without. This is where compassion comes in for the people that we might not really like. So there might be leaders that we're just like, I can't stand them. But when we start to recognize that there's an internal conflict within them, or they wouldn't behave like this, right? They'd be like, we're going to live in harmony with the world. Rather than, you have something I want, I'm going to go take it. I don't care what you say. We wouldn't be living like that. We wouldn't have to fight over resources if we lived in harmony with the world either, because resources are abundant. The mother is giving us tons of resources, but we're consuming it. I talked about it, the empty houses around the world. People keep constructing things, and we have stuff that's empty. There's buildings that are empty. Nobody's living in them. What are we doing? That's called waste. We're wasting for what? So we can look at the building and say, ooh, it's pretty, or oh, it's mine. No one shall be in that building because it's mine. And now everybody gets to suffer. I mean, it's just, when you start to think of it in this way, you just think, wow, this is childish. Why? Because the person or the people that are constructing this world, the way we see it, have an internal conflict. They've been lied to, or they're not wanting to accept that they are leaning too far to the left brain. So within ourselves, okay, so we're burgeoning. Masculine and feminine energies play a distinct role in the unfolding of our reality, but they do so in concert with one another. These energies are not gender specific. They exist within all of us in ways that are best suited for our lives we are meant to live. Nature has provided us with some vital clues about the characteristics that these energies carry. But these are merely guideposts that instruct us how these energies are meant to be used in our life. The feminine energy represents the inner world. This is demonstrated by the autonomy of our bodies. A woman's reproductive organs are internal, and her creative impulse is held within her center, in her womb. A woman creates in concert with the energy of the heart. The life that is nurtured and cultivated within a woman's body sits just below the heart and is attuned to its rhythm. A woman's body is a bridge between worlds. Within a woman's body, there exists a direct link to the source of creation. I mean, what a beautiful way to look at it. Good morning, Holly. I don't think you're still on here. But women are the direct source of creation. I mean, isn't that beautiful? Direct source. So to all the mothers, right? All the mothers out there, the ones that are the child bearers, you are a direct source, a direct connection. So awesome. Thus, the energy of feminine connects us to divine knowledge that guides that knowledge through the body in direct correlation to the heart. Feminine energy is expansive, intuitive, creative, and life-affirming. The feminine is the keeper of intuition and the translator of heart-based wisdom. I love that. We women hold this energy in a greater capacity because we are able to hold life within us, but that doesn't mean men don't have it within them. Here's what it is. We're just a little bit more attuned to it. But we have the responsibility of supporting and teaching the men this. It's in them. And I can tell you right now, I lived in India for a year. Okay. And when I lived in India, the men were different. Somehow they have kept the understanding, right, of how to teach these young gentlemen the connection to the sacred feminine. There is a difference, okay? The way that men show up in America and the way that men show up in Asia, it's different. Their ability to have that intuition is heightened. They are close to their mothers. And rightfully so, because the mothers have taught them, right, the intuition, how to speak from the heart and feel from the heart. And so, again, I don't want to put it in gender space, but there is a capacity for us to hold that energy a bit more, greater. And it's up to us to teach the young men this. So there's something very interesting that I can say that happened. And I think I've told this story before. I'm going to tell it again for those who may not know it. That when I was there and I wasn't feeling well, okay, these men would come up to me and say, "What's wrong? Your energy's low." And I'm like, "No, I'm fine." And they're like, "No, you're not. Your energy's low. I can feel it." And I go, "What do you mean you could feel it?" They're like, "I could feel it. I could feel that your energy's low." And I'm like, "How do you feel that? What do you mean?" And literally, they could feel, or they were attuned, or they could understand that I was not feeling well. And that usually it was during menstruation. They inherently knew. And they'd say, "Let me go get you tea. Let me help you." I can tell you this. This is, I don't want to say anything bad about my fellow Americans, but I can tell you right now, no man in America has ever done that. But I can tell you that every single man in Asia that I know, I'm not going to say every man in Asia, but every guy that I knew during this time was tuned into that and asked. Quite phenomenal. They were taught to listen to their heart. They were taught by their mothers. They were brought up. They were close to their mothers. And so because of that, they were able to understand and feel into a woman's energy. I mean, it's phenomenal. I don't even know how to describe the feeling, because I come from the Western world where I have never once been asked by even my, I have a lot of guy friends, and no, they've never said, "What's wrong? Let me go get you tea, something, your energy's low." When they were telling me, I was like, how do they know? It was weird to me. It was alien to me, but they knew, and they wanted to take care of me, and they wanted to make sure that I was okay. I mean, what a beautiful way to engage life. That's living in harmony with. Not the conversations happening in the Western world. "Oh, she's on her thing. She's a bitch. She's a this. Excuse my language. She's on the rag. Something's wrong with her. Blah, 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 blah." No, it wasn't like that. There was a care and a concern for my well-being. And it made me cry. I would even cry right now. Because there was this understanding that we live in harmony with the sacred feminine and sacred masculine. Different. And I felt different. And it made me feel seen and heard. And I thought, wow, I don't want to go back to America and hear this bullshit. I've been cussing a lot lately. And hear this BS that, "Oh, women, men, I don't want to hear it. It's not real. It's a construct that we've made up to rage war inside of ourselves internally. And only we can rectify that. So I hope that you work on that war that's going on inside of you. I know I am. And it's not easy. It's not an easy battle. but it's possible. So make it possible. So there you have it. I will let you guys go today. Have a beautiful Wednesday. And of course, I will be seeing you guys tomorrow. I'm going to continue to read from Sacred Instructions until I'm not, because that's what I do. I just kind of jump around all over the place. But I love you guys. Have a great day. Salud to you. And I will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.